Dr. Stephen Lawrence, a Washington University infectious disease specialist, joins Show Me Today, and just wanted to get kind of an update on COVID and how we're doing here in Missouri. So we have him on to talk a little bit about that. Dr. Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us. What does our Missouri audience need to know as far as what is going on in Missouri with COVID-19?
Yeah, sure. Missouri's in the same boat as much of the rest of the country, and that there is a relatively high level of COVID transmission that is occurring throughout most of the state, and certainly, you know, within the St. Louis region where I live. And this is something that hasn't just suddenly appeared. It's not a big spike like we saw in January when Omicron hit, but it's been something that's been sustained for a couple of months. So it's still high levels, not quite as high as Omicron, but sustained. So it's a little bit of a different pattern than what we had seen earlier in the year.
Okay. It looks like maybe about half the state is kind of in the what you might refer to as the high transmission category. Is that kind of what you would say?
Actually, I don't have that. I haven't looked at the statewide, you know, geographic distribution, so I wouldn't put I can't answer that on the interview.
Tell me a little bit. I'm curious to know. I don't know much about this new Omicron subvariant, this BA5. What can you tell us about this?
BA5 is the most recent iteration or the most recent version of COVID to come along. It is a subvariant or a cousin of the Omicron virus that hit in January, and it continues to evolve over time. Some might remember there was a BA2 and then a subvariant of it, now a BA5. They're all related to and have derived from the original Omicron that has been circulating now for about 8 months. And this is something that is a pattern that we are likely to see for quite some time to come, where we get new versions of the virus that continues to mutate over time when there's a lot of transmission that occurs when we haven't yet quite gotten the levels down to very low points, that as long as there are many people being infected, it will continue to mutate. And as it does, it actually changes in ways that makes it a little more contagious. You know, with almost each new version, it's a little more contagious.
So right now, as far as cases go, do you know what version of COVID seems to be the one that has the most cases in Missouri?
Well, that is being tracked all the time, but the levels of detail are sometimes a little hard to know if it's the BA2 or one of the subversions of BA2 or it's BA5. But we are pretty clear with it across most of the state, most of the country, that if areas are not already predominantly BA5, they will be soon, because this does have a competitive advantage. In other words, it's more contagious than the prior ones and will eventually replace the older versions. Now, one thing I think that's important to keep in mind is that regardless of the subvariant that is circulating, the numbers and the names of it don't much matter. What really matters is that, you know, we've had fairly high levels that have been sustained for a couple of months. And it's important to know that because then it allows people to take the measures that they need to if they want to avoid becoming infected.
Dr. Stephen Lawrence, a Washington University infectious disease specialist, joined Show Me Today. I'm Elisa Nelson, and he's visiting with us about the latest on COVID-19 in Missouri. When you're talking about being contagious, more contagious, are these subvariants, are they more resistant to the vaccine?
Yeah, what seems to be happening over time is as the virus changes, it does tend to become a little less, in some instances, a little less dangerous, so not quite as severe. But it also, at the same time, is becoming better able to get around our defense systems, that we get immunity from vaccines and from prior infection. The changed viruses, the mutated viruses, do a better job of kind of getting around those defenses, at least in causing mild illness. The one thing that's super important, though, that we have to keep in mind, and even with the BA5, is that our vaccines, even though they're not providing really long-term protection versus becoming infected if we're exposed. What they are doing, and they still are doing very importantly, is that they're providing very good protection versus serious illness. And so it is still absolutely clear that if you are, say, somebody who is high risk for complications of COVID and you've not been vaccinated, BA5 could make you really sick. But for those who have been vaccinated, you know, BA5 may still cause some mild illness if you get exposed, but the chances of getting really sick are extremely low for those who've been vaccinated.
For the boosters, is it just for those who have certain health conditions and are of a certain age? Is that how it is now?
You know, there's a very rapidly changing recommendations and environment for what is considered to be up to date for the vaccines. And admittedly, it does get a little bit confusing. Moment. Most people can get their first booster if they've had the primary series already, and that does provide extra protection. Not only gives a little bit of an extra boost to the already very high levels of protection against serious illness or even in a worst case scenario, death, but it also for a month or two gives some really good protection versus actually becoming infected. You know, that protection versus mild illness does tend to wear off after a couple of months. Now, for second boosters, at the moment, the emphasis is making sure those who are at highest risk get the second boosters. And those are going to be people over age 50 and those who are over age 12 that have other medical conditions that would put them at higher risk of serious COVID. And in those instances, getting that extra boost is a good idea when there's so much transmission going on right now in the community to be able to prevent the risk of being hospitalized or worse.
Since there's so much transmission going on in the community, why not just have it open to everybody?
Well, you know, there are debates about how the best vaccination strategies should be made. You know, for one thing, the extra benefit for low-risk individuals of getting that second booster right now, you don't get a whole lot of extra benefit because they're still working so, so well at preventing serious illness. And so the benefit does occur that if you get a second booster, you'll have a couple of months where if you're exposed, you're even less likely to get mild illness. But you're already so, so protected from the first booster against more serious illness that right now those discussions are undergoing, like how much more benefit do you get for that second booster if you're already at lower risk for complications. Things I think are going to be changing by the fall as the CDC and the FDA are looking at what's the best approach as we go into the respiratory virus season, where if anything, we anticipate the COVID levels might even be higher than the high levels we're seeing now. And by that time, at some point in the next several months, we will very likely have new vaccine options that very specifically target the Omicron and its subvariants so that it would actually give even more protection against even milder infection cases. And so those recommendations aren't yet known. That hasn't been determined yet, but it's pretty likely over the next couple of months that we'll have both new products and new recommendations to get us through the winter season.
Dr. Stephen Lawrence, a Washington University infectious disease specialist, joins Show Me today, and he's giving us the latest on COVID-19 in Missouri. With all these subvariants popping up, I'm curious how that's impacting testing and the accuracy of testing.
So far, we have seen that our tests that we use to detect COVID work just as well for the subvariants of Omicron as it did versus the original Omicron as it did for even the earlier versions of the virus. So we shouldn't be too concerned about the ability of the virus to not be detected from what we're used to. Now, that being said, there are still some limitations on how well the tests work. The rapid antigen test that right now most people are using to find out if they have infection or not, it is really good at detecting infection when it gets to a point where you're really contagious to others. But it does happen relatively frequently that you'll miss early cases with it. So it could be negative while you still have COVID in the early stages. And so a negative test on that rapid antigen is something that doesn't absolutely rule out the possibility that you have COVID, but it does make it less likely that you have it at enough of a level to pass it on to others. For those who have some symptoms, though, and or they've been exposed to somebody recently, taking a first negative test would not be a reason to just abandon all precautions. Instead, it would be a good idea to continue to wear a mask around other people and then test again in 1 or 2 days. And then if both of those are negative, you can feel more comfortable that those symptoms that you're having might be something else besides COVID.
Okay, great. One more question for you. I know someone who was diagnosed with COVID about a month ago and recovered 2 to 3 weeks ago, and he was diagnosed again. Is there something going on? Like, are the antibodies wearing off more rapidly?
This is a direct result of the changes that the virus is undergoing. As it continues to become more adapted to infecting humans, and this is what happens when new viruses emerge in the population that cause pandemics. We've known this for pandemics that have occurred over the last centuries, is that the virus does tend to more easily escape our immune system to be able to more easily infect people, and that manifests as being more contagious. And it also manifests as being able to cause infection again, sometimes weeks or months after you recently had it. The virus is getting a little smarter, but fortunately, it's not getting more dangerous. And so what that allows us is that to still lean on our vaccines to be able to protect us from serious illness. If we had everybody fully up to date on vaccines with the recommended, boosters for their age and health status, the risk of serious illness, the number of hospitalizations would be extremely, extremely low. But for protecting versus just becoming infected, the best way to do that is to wear masks when you're indoors around other people. Because the reality of this virus, as it's becoming smarter, it's becoming trickier, is that it will pretty easily infect most people when there's a lot of high-level exposure. But that risk can be reduced probably 80 or 90% if people are masked when they're indoors. So for those who want to protect themselves from getting seriously ill, you get the vaccine. If you want to protect yourself from getting infected at all, you wear a mask.
Any final thoughts before we wrap this up, Steve?
I think that it is important to recognize we are seeing more COVID out there than what is often captured in the media. And there's, I think, a couple of reasons for it. There's so much else going on in the world right now. But also that since Omicron and the changes in how we're doing much more home testing, there have been some changes in how the health departments are reporting different types of tests. The actual numbers that are reported are an even greater underestimate of how much COVID is actually out there. And I would bet that most people, myself included, know many, many folks and friends and family who've been infected in the recent weeks. And so it is something that we know there's a lot out there. And I think that that is something that we want to keep in mind if we want to protect ourselves.
That's Dr. Stephen Lawrence, a Washington University infectious disease specialist. We will be back with more after this. This is Show Me Today, the Voice of Missouri.